This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim, Parshas Ekev. We're continuing in the Shurim on Sefer Devarim, which are again generously sponsored by Dr. Zakim and Mishpach Leilei Nishmas Rav Shloima Eliezer and Rav Yaakov Zakim, and Leilei Nishmas Dr. Zakim's mother, Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi, and Rav David ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyen, Began Eden Tehim Nuchasai, Menuchasam, and they should be Zoicha, Shefa Bracha Vatzlacha, Abiyas Goyal Tzedek. We have an amazing shiur tonight. First of all, I have some very important announcements. I know the last couple of shiurim, there've been a bit little scratchy, so the sound. I've heard that there's been some static. Baruch Hashem, we've upgraded the sound system. State of the art, Sennheiser, EWG4, okay? With clip-on mic, the best sound in the world. I don't know if you could hear anything, but the best sound in the world. Also, brand new camera. Okay, so thank you for all those who are mishtatev in that. So we're bringing you the best sound. When you have good sound, it even makes the content sound better. But this content cannot be any better. First of all, I know last week you were very excited about the arrival of the French edition of The Mystery of the Majesty. Delo le mystère et la majesté. You're very excited about that. And you're like, okay, I already mastered the French language. What am I supposed to do this week? Well, the good news is, now that you know French, this week you can learn Spanish, because the Spanish edition has arrived. Now, if you don't know either, then you take out the English, and you can learn both languages. Now, the big question is, you know, on the back of the Svarim, it has pictures of the other Svarim. So do they... On the back of the books, will it now have pictures of the Spanish and French edition? That's the teaser for this week, okay? That's the big plug. You could buy the book just to see if the picture is on the back. We have a very important topic tonight. And, you know, a lot of people had a very disruptive week. First of all, people were stopping in doorways, just randomly stopping in doorways. You know, I heard there was more traffic this past week than any other week in New York City. Every doorway that people walked through, there were delays, there were clog-ups. Even somebody called me to get their free copy of the Spanish edition, which I delivered. If I say I'm going to get a free copy, I'm good for my word. So how am I going to get it to him? He lived in Far Rockaway. He knew a guy on Oakland Avenue. I gave it to the guy on Oakland Avenue. I hope he got it, but I did my part. I made the Spanish edition available to someone who contemplated 18 doorways to think about. Now, a lot of people got very jolted by not kissing the mezuzah. I'm still at it, by the way, this week. I'm not stopping. I'm on the rampage. Imagine a guy, he walks into shul in the morning, and he takes out his tefillin, and he kisses them, and that's it. That's not a good thing. Even though he loves his tefillin, he doesn't love his tefillin if he doesn't wear his tefillin. Imagine a guy, he kisses his talis and he doesn't wear his talis. Great! It's good for you, but you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of talis. Imagine a guy who kisses his shofar. Imagine a guy, he kisses the cholent. But the other guy didn't kiss the cholent, he ate the cholent. Who likes the cholent more? So too with the mezuzah. The purpose of the mezuzah is to think about what's in it, namely the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And just like Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, He likewise will what? Take us out of the current Galus. So you know what? We're going to do it again this week. Anybody who walks through at least 18 doorways in one day and thinks that the Ribono Shel Olam watches over us and guides the world, and just like He took us out of Mitzrayim, He'll take us out of this Gullus. The offer still stands. For this week, only the first two callers will get the free. This week, we're going to make it the Spanish. De lo majestuoso a lo sublima.
By the way, you're a Rav or a Rebbe? Which one is it?
yeah. Okay, so...
Spanish edition
is a Chacham. Yeah. So here we go. Let's come back to the great teaching of the Smak. The Smak taught us that we're in the Torah. Is there a mitzvah to await the coming of the Geula? After all, the subject of Mashiach is barely referenced in the whole Chumash. Where is there a command to actively await the coming of Mashiach? So the Smak taught us as follows. It's the very first mitzvah in the Torah. When the Ribbono Shel Olam introduces himself to Klal Yisrael, and he says, Anoichi Hashem Lekecha, Asher Hoitzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. This smack is quoted in the Siddur HaGra. And the Siddur HaGra explains, okay, imagine this. You have 3 million Jews standing there. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I am God who took you out of the land of Egypt. Yeah, okay, good. That's nice. Nice to know you. Aleichem Shalom. What does God want from us? Obviously, He's commanding us to do something. So what's the command? What is the command of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoitzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim? In the Siddur HaGra he brings, all the Dibrois are commands. Anoichi is a command. So what is God commanding us? Says the Smak. Shema mina bezeh toloi shekeshem sheyesh lanu lahamin shehoitzianu mitzrayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is commanding us that just like we should believe that He took us out of Egypt. Dechsev anoichi Hashem loikecha asher hoitzeisicha ve'al karchin me'achar shehu dibor. If it's a command, hachi kamar keshem sheani roitze shetaminu bi sheani hoitzeisani eschem. Just like I want you to believe in me that I took you out. Kach ani roitze sheta'aminu sheani Hashem lekechem v'ani osid lekabetz eschem l'shiachem. I want you to believe that I'm destined to redeem you. Meaning the command, when the Ribbono Shel Olam gathered 3 million Jews at Sinai, and He said, I am the Lord who took you out of the land of Egypt. Yeah, no, so what do you want from us? What He's telling us is, just like you need to believe that I took you out of Mitzrayim, you need to believe that I'm going to redeem you. Now, here's a little twist. Right? Last week we verified that people walk through doorways. Now I have another personal question. When you exit the shul, before you exit the shul, what tefillah, what's the last tefillah that you say? Usually? Aleinu. The end of Shacharis, the end of Mincha, the end of Marav. By the way, Aleinu is not tefillas haderach. You say it in your place, okay? Tefillas Hadarach is when you're driving in the car, you're about to go over the bridge, okay, you can't stop. Aleinu, in your place. There are two paragraphs of Aleinu. Paragraph number one is a exclamation and a statement of our belief in the Creator of the universe. Aleinu l'shabeach la'adoin ha'koil la'seis gedula li'yotzer bereishis. V'anachnu koyrim u'mishtachavim u'moidim v'nei melech malchei amlochim shunoyte shamayim v'yoyseid oretz u'moyshe v'gav b'shamayim al shchinasuzo b'gav m'roimim hu elokeinu einoid. And it's going to Evzulasai. That's paragraph number one. What's paragraph number two? By this time, I hope you're still in your place. Alkein nekave lecha Hashem lekeinu. Therefore, I hope Lirois Mehera Bisavar Suzecha, to quickly see the splendor of your strength. Lahafnoi Selecha Rishi Aretz, all the wicked should turn to you. V'chobnei Vasar Yikvishmecha, all mankind should call out in your name. The second chapter of Aleinu is a prayer for the coming of Mashiach. You think it's a coincidental? Paragraph number one is a statement of belief in the Creator of the universe. Paragraph number two is our exclamation, our declaration that we're awaiting the coming of Mashiach. According to the Smak, Aleinu is magnificent. According to the Smak, it's really incredible. Why? Because according to the Smak, it comes out that the Smak learns that the belief in the coming of Mashiach is part and parcel in the belief of the existence of the Creator. Meaning, we just learned the Smak says, the mitzvah of believing in the coming of Mashiach is part and parcel of the mitzvah in the belief in the Creator. Hashem says, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. And just like you should believe that I took you out of Mitzrayim, likewise you should believe that I'm going to redeem you, right? According to the Smak, belief in the coming of Mashiach is a corollary, is synonymous with the belief in the Creator. Therefore, the two paragraphs of Aleinu are set up really enunciating clearly the opinion of the smack. Paragraph number one, the belief in the creator of the universe. Paragraph number two, declaration in you anticipating the coming of Mashiach. Now, just one little difference between the way the Sefer and the Siddur HaGros explaining the Aleinu and the way we explain the smack. See, the way we explain the smack, part of remembering and believing Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim is the belief that just like He took us out of Mitzrayim, so too He's going to take us out of our current galus. Here, the way the Siddur HaGros is explaining the Aleinu, it's not so much that part of belief that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim is that He's going to redeem us. Part of the belief that there is a Creator who controls the world. So the question is, if there's a Creator who controls the world, but it doesn't seem like too many people understand and recognize who He is, so part in the belief in the control of the Creator of the universe, part of the belief is that the day will come that everyone will believe in Him. So it's a little bit of a twist in how we explain the smack. In other words,
last week we said that the makos and the yitzias from Mitzrayim were all part of the acknowledgement, okay, of that there is a, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu, He is the Creator, and He's the one that will eventually take us out.
Right. So just the only, let's say, slight nuance of difference is, while the way we understood the smack, part of Hashem redeeming us from Egypt is that He's destined to redeem us from the current galus. This is saying part of the belief in the Creator is that the day will come that Hashem will redeem us. Now, this week I got a sefer called Metzapim Li Yeshua, and he brings in a footnote that another example of where we see the duality of believing that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim is that He's going to redeem us is the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim B'yoymu V'layla. So take a look at number two. The Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Chinana, Saba Mishmei Derav, Kol Shaloi Amar Emes V'yatziv Shachris, V'emes V'emunah Arvis, Lo Yatza Yidei Chayvas. Anyone who doesn't say Emes V'yatziv in the morning and Emes V'emunah in the evening does not fulfill their obligation. Right? You know what Emes V'yatziv is? The Berachas Kriya Shema after Shema. So Emes V'yatziv, Emes V'emunah. Did you ever notice what's the difference between Emes V'yatziv and Emes V'emunah? What do we talk about in the morning? Emes V'yatziv is Mi Mitzrayim Galtanu, Mi Beis Avadnu Pidisanu, Kol B'chol Reyam Haragta, V'yam Sof Bakata. Emes V'yatziv is a very illustrative description of what? Yetzias Mitzrayim. How about at night? At night, we switch the subject matter. At night we say, Hasam nafshenu b'chayim, v'loy nosan la'amod ragdeinu, ha-madrichinu abam esimnu, v'ayim karen kosinu, ha-madrichinu abam esimnu, v'ayim karen kosinu, ho-yosun nizgom fari, ho-yosun nizgom zom, ha-makabes kom zom etzim. And we say, we talk about the miracles that Hashem is destined to do to us in the future. Take a look at Rashi. The bracha of Emes V'yatziv is the chesed Hashem did when He took us out of Mitzrayim and He split the yam and He crossed us the Amsuf. Uberchaz Emes Amunah medaber ba afal ho'asidois she'anu mitzapim she'yikayim lanu avtachos Hashem is going to fulfill His promise legaleinu miyad melachim to redeem us from all the kings. So Emes V'yatziv talks about past redemption. Emes V'amunah talks about future redemption. But you haven't fulfilled your obligation fully unless you declare your belief in Hashem's past redemption of the Jewish people as well as His future. And this fits in beautifully according to the smack, that part of the belief that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim is the belief that Hashem will redeem us in the future. Okay. Now, says the Pelayoyetz, we know that after 120, one of the six main questions that a person will be asked is, did he await the coming of Mashiach? This is something that is Masur Lalev. What does that mean, Masur Lalev? That means it's a mitzvah, it's a chayvas halvavais. It's something that has to be in your heart. It's not about, do you want to come to my house for Shabbos? Yeah, if Mashiach doesn't come, I'll come to your house for Shabbos. So you have all these people who are paying lip service to Mashiach. They might be building a $10 million mansion because they think they're going to be in America for the next 3,000 years. But at the same time, really? I'm going to the tile store on Friday to spend 9 hours choosing a tile if Mashiach doesn't come by then, right? So So they pay lip service to the concept of Mashiach, but they're certainly not living that way. So it's not about what you say, it's about how you really feel. Now, I have to share this with you. The mitzvah of being mitzapel Yeshua, the Palioid says, is not only for the coming of Mashiach. However, any distress a person finds them in, self in. A person is having difficulty, health, they need a refuah, they need a zivug, they need parnasa, whatever it is, chinuch habanim, whatever Yeshua a person is hoping for, one should always be anticipating the coming of the salvation, and that it could come keharafayin. So it's not just we're anticipating the coming of the Yeshua, we're anticipating the coming, not only the coming of Mashiach, but the coming of all salvation that Hashem should bring for us. The Arizal writes, every day when we say, Lishuascha kivinu kal hayom, we should think, Hashem, I am awaiting your salvation from whatever problem that you may have. One should think, Ribon Shem, I am awaiting your salvation that could come in the blink of an eye. And that the Arizal said, it's mesugol ma'oid, meaning it's very predisposed that by those words, if you think, yes, I am awaiting the imminent salvation, not just of the geula, but my own personal geula, that is a big segula for one to achieve the Yeshua. Now here's a little trick. Think about the words. We don't say ki lishu asenu kivinu kayam. We don't say we're awaiting our salvation. We say we're awaiting your salvation. Because when we're suffering, Hashem suffers. So the main kavana should be, Hashem, I am awaiting your salvation. Like we said over on Tisha B'Av many times, that gam ki eilech begeitz hamavas, even if a person is in the shadow of death, lo yirara, that shouldn't faze a person. What should faze a person? The Kleisenberger Rebbe would say, ki ato imadi, it bothers me that Hashem is suffering. So we say, Hashem, I know that you're going to send the refuah, the zivug, the parnasa, the Yeshua, because I don't want you to have to suffer. Ki lishu ascha kivinu kal hayayim. Okay. Comes a Chafetz Chaim. And we're now going to talk about and clarify what exactly does it mean you should await the coming of the Gula? Does it mean, look, the Gemara says, you know, the world will last for 6,000 years. So I have emunah shalema that by year 6,000, Mashiach will come. I believe by emunah shalema that my great-great-great-great-grandchildren, they will see Mashiach. What exactly is this a person supposed to think? So the Chafetz Chaim, in the Sefer Machane Yisrael Perek Beis, he says that one of the questions that a person is asked after 120 is Tzipisa Yeshua. Again, he says it's Masr Lelev. It's not something that you just pay lip service to. And there is no, it's not a coincidence that the coming of the Gula is like pregnancy. Now, when a woman is pregnant, every day she's getting closer to the birth. She's not getting further. Now, even though when she's in her 9th month, it might seem like a long time away. But how does the woman feel when she experiences, you know, a labor pain? Or she feels a contraction? She knows she's nearing the end. The reason why Mashiach is compared to labor and birth is because it is definitely going to come. This is not a belief. Mashiach is not a belief. It's a reality. We know that any promise that the Ribbono Shel Olam made, even beramiza, even by a hint, even just through a diuk, whether it's when it came to leaving Mitzrayim, or anything that was supposed to happen in the destiny of the Jewish people, or even returning after the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Hashem alluded that we were going to return. We returned exactly, precisely when Hashem said we would. So when it comes to the future Gula, which all the Nevi'im speak about, Bepeh Mole, they don't allude to it, they don't hint to it, they don't insinuate, they speak openly in many, many, many psukim. The reason it's compared to labor and delivery is because when a woman is pregnant, guess what? One thing she knows. She doesn't know if it's a boy or a girl. She has no idea. And even when they tell her in the hospital, it's still, now she's only, you know, now it's 51% that they're right, right? But one thing she knows is she's having a baby. Same thing with the gula. We know it's happening. We know it's happening. So, when you wake up in the morning, what should you think? Should you think, it might happen today? Like, what percent? What percent would you give it? That's very hard to know. It's a very interesting subject. In other words, what should a person think and how should a person view the coming of the Geula? I'm going to share with you a pasuk. You've said this pasuk probably thousands of times in your life. Sorry, no offense. I don't think anybody knows what it means. Anyone present, anyone listening, if you know what it means, you'll tell me. You could get a free edition of the Spanish Mystery and the Majesty. Okay? Now, I know for sure you say this pasuk. Because, look, I know you walk through doorways and you say Aleinu. Yeah? So you definitely say this pasuk. Nafshi, Sher ha-malois mi mamakim krasicha Hashem. Inafshi la-shem yishoymrim la-boiker. Shoymrim la-boiker. I have a question. If the Chazan would say, Nafshi la-shem yishoymrim la-boiker. Yachel Yisrael. Does anyone have any clue why we say the words Shoymrim la-boiker twice? No, that, and the answer is not because it would not fit the tune otherwise. Why do we say Shoymrim la-boiker twice? Okay, that's the first question. Second question, does anyone have any clue what it means Nafshi la-shem yishoymrim la-boiker? Yeah, my soul waits for God like what? Those who wait for day? It doesn't say that. Nice try. It doesn't say Nafshi la-shem ki shoymrim la-boiker. It says mi shoymrim la-boiker. Yeah, because what does mi shoymrim la-boiker mean? I know you want the Spanish edition, but it doesn't mean you know what it means. What does it mean mi shoymrim la-boiker? What? Even though Dr. Gutnick, living in Yerushalayim, woke up at 3:30 a.m. to hear the shir, you know that? Dr. Gutnick is my dear friend, and he said, even though the shir is 8:30, he's going to wake up 3:30 a.m. in Yerushalayim on Malchei Yisrael, in Geula. But still, not so fast. I'm not giving you the Spanish edition so fast. Anyway, what are you going to do with the Spanish edition in Malchei Yisrael? How am I going to get it to you? So I'm not making it easy. And also, what does it mean, mi shoymrim la-boiker? Mi shoymrim. Mi shoymrim doesn't mean like. Me means
from.
From. My soul yearns for God from those who wait the morning. And why do you say it twice? You ready for this? And then why do we say after, Yachel Yisrael El Hashem Kima? Okay, like this. Many people wait for the Geula, but they don't really think it's happening. So David HaMelech says, Nafshi Lashem, my soul awaits for you, God. Mi Shoymrim La-boiker, more than those who are guarding in the night and are awaiting the day. Me means more than. Okay, so now, in case you ever say this pasuk, you can know what it means. The Malbim says, Nafshi Lashem, my soul awaits God, Mi Shoymrim La-boiker, more than those who await the morning. Now, a guard at night who is awaiting the morning, first of all, he's awaiting the morning probably because the shift is over. Second of all, because things are safer and clearer in the morning. Does he have any doubt that the morning is coming? He knows it's coming. How does he know? Because that's the way the world works. Nafshi la-shem yishoymrim la-boiker. Nafshi la-shem yishoymrim la-boiker. Right? He knows the morning is coming. It's not like, well, let's say like this. Let's say I'm waiting for a guest. Wait for a guest. and he's 20 minutes late, do you know for sure he's coming? He might not show up. First of all, he might not like you, and he may have told you he's coming, and he might not show. Or maybe he's not feeling well. Or maybe he tried to cross the street, but a truck did not allow him to. Who knows what happened to the guy? So when you await for a person, you can't be confident that it will come. But when you await for the morning, guess what? You know it's coming, says David. But nafshi l'Hashem more than shomrim l'boiker. Nafshi l'Hashem mi shomrim l'boiker. My soul awaits your redemption, God, even more than those who await the morning. You know why? Because shomrim, these guards, they're awaiting the morning. And the morning, it's gonna come. But it won't come any sooner if you wait for it. Whether you're waiting or not, it will come when it will come. And it can't come any sooner. But your redemption, Hashem, Yachel Yisrael El Hashem, the Jewish people await the redemption more than someone awaits the morning. You know why? Ki im Hashem HaChesed. Kindness is with God. Vaharbe imay fadus. And he has a lot of redemption up his sleeves. And he know what he could do. Vehu yifta es Yisrael. He could redeem the Jewish people. Mikol avoynoisav, from all of their sins. So when we're languishing in the galus, and we're thinking about a guy standing on a mountain with at his post, awaiting the morning, says David HaMelech, Nafshi l'Hashem mishoimrim laboiker. But shoimrim laboiker, because the guard is only awaiting the morning. That's how you read it. But Yachel Yisrael el Hashem, the Jewish people await the Ribbono Shel Kiyam Hashem HaChesed, because with God is kindness. So first of all, the first thing is the definitive outcome of the Geula is more definite than the rising of the sun. Will the sun rise tomorrow? Probably. Would you bet money that the sun will rise tomorrow? Yeah. Now, could something happen that the sun will... It could happen. Maybe a tzaddik will decree that the sun shouldn't rise tomorrow. I mean, you know, Moshe tried it, Moshe did it, Yeshua did it. I don't know. Maybe one of the G'dayli Hadar will say, you know, stop. So, but still, how much money would you bet that the sun will rise tomorrow? You're putting all your money on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're a conservative guy, I think, right? And even, I'm not going to say in public your name, but even DW is going to put all his money that the sun will rise. But you know what's even more definite than the sun will rise? Right? There are only two things that are definite. Death and taxes. That means even more than the sun will rise, the government's going to tax you. That you would put all your money plus on. And you know what's even more definite than that? Nafshi l'Hashem yishamrim l'boiker. Because shomrim, they're only waiting for the morning, and the morning can't come any sooner. It ain't coming before 12 hours are up. But the geula, we hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Ribbono Shel Olam has so much chesed, and there's so much redemption with Hashem, and he could redeem the Jewish people. Mikol Avinosav. Now, I want to share with you something very interesting. When we daven for the geula, let's say Rosh Chodesh benching. We know that the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh were Mavarech the Chodesh. This is not like back in the day when the Bezin would say Mekudosh, Mekudosh. This is not a halachic process. It's merely to let everybody know when Rosh Chodesh is. Even though everybody gets all worked up about the Rosh Chodesh benching, you could continue to do so. Because, I mean, how many things can I... You know, I don't want to burst too many things. We went after the kissing of the mezuzah, so we're going to hold it right there. But just know that it's just a way of letting people know when Rosh Chodesh is, right? So you say, what about that whole tefillah, Yehi Ratzon, huh? What tefillah? The tefillah that Rav said every day at the end of Shemana Esrei that the Chasam Sofer says not to say. Yo, that one? That's not part of Rosh Chodesh benching. It's a very nice tefillah. Then once we got you to come to shul, because you need to know when Rosh Chodesh is, so we might as well daven for, you know, Chayim Sheish Bahem. Now, which one do you say with the most kavana? We tried that everyone should focus on the Yer Shamayim. We throw two of them in there. But somehow the Oysha V'Chavayit gets all the attention. That's why we try to sandwich it with the Yer Shamayim before and after. But that's not part of Rosh Chodesh. The Chassam Sofer didn't say this. He did not say it. It's called Slusa D'Rav. That was Rav's Tefillah daily. The Yikr Tefillah of Rosh Chodesh benching is Mi Sha'asa Nisim Laviseinu V'Goal Oysam Me'avdus L'Chiros. Who? Yigal Oisanu. Says the Berhitev. Say, who? Yigal Oisanu. Vikabetzin the Chinu Yarbakan Foisarets. Chaveirim Kol Yisrael. Benoimar Amen. What should you leave out? Bekarev. Who? Yigal Oisanu. And don't say the word Bekarev. Why? Because you want the Tefillah Misha Asanisim to have 21 words. Kaminyan Ekya. Ach Toiv. Misha Asanisim Lavoiseinu. 21 words. Take out the word Bekarev. That's what's brought in the Berhetev Simen Tov Yud Zayin. Comes the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer says, first of all, the Yehi Ratzon before, we don't say. Now, you're going to say it, because no way you're going to get out of that one. But the Chassam Sofer says, the Yehi Ratzon is not part of it. But you better say the word Bekarev. The main tefillah is Bekarev. You know why? Because we don't need to daven that the Geula should come. It's coming. We have to daven the sun should rise. It's coming. But when is it coming? The Ikar tefillah is Bekarev. Therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, Harach Amon Hu Yizakeinu Limaisah. No, the wrong one. Harachaman hu yishlach lanu es Eliyahu hanavi vivaser lanu b'mehera b'soyres toivay, says the Chassam Sofer. You have to mehera it up. And the Chassam Sofer davenos l'chashkenaz. Chassam Sofer says when you say vivaser lanu b'mehera b'soyres toivay, you have to daven Eliyahu shebim vaser b'soyres toivay. The Navi says he's coming. I don't need to daven for him to come. I need to daven that he comes fast, not that he should come. Mehera. If you notice, almost every time we speak about the Geula, we throw in the word Mehera. Tika b'shoifar gadol chirusenu v'sanes l'kabetz goyusenu v'kabetzenu yachad me'arba kanfos ha'aretz. The Sharei Tshuva brings that in the Sefer Negidim at Save, he skips the word Mehera. That's because we want to create a certain kind of shame through the permutation of Yachad, Me'ar B'Kanfois. But some are makbet to say, V'kabetzenu Mehira, Yachad, and the Sharei Tshuva says, that's correct. Now,
does the Gemara say within 6,000 years or in 6,000 years?
The Gemara says, the first 2,000 years are Toyhu V'Vayu.
Right.
The next 2,000 years are Toyra. The next 2,000 years are Yemais HaMashiach.
So it could be any time in the last 2,000.
Yeah.
So
Rabbi, speaking about the Mashiach, the Mashiach suitcase.
You have Mashiach suitcase?
Yeah.
He's in your suitcase?
What?
He's in your suitcase?
To carry on.
Very good. So you should be zeichet to see him very soon. One second. Let's.
So the middle 2,000 years, they said the same prayers as we're saying now.
L'chaira.
Why? He's only coming in the last 2,000.
I don't know if he's... That's the most predisposed time. Does that mean he couldn't come earlier? The Gemara says that there were certain individuals that could have been Mashiach. Moshe could have been Mashiach. Okay, very interesting. In Kaddish, we say, Be'olma divrach ruseh v'yamlich ma'chaseh b'chayechoin uv'yamechen v'chaye d'chobeis Yisrael. Ba'gola of his man Karev. You say those words? What does the word Bagala mean? Anybody want to give it a try? At these very rare words? You may hear it occasionally in the synagogue when they have prayers. The Chazan says Bagala. Somebody just said in a wagon. I was afraid somebody would say that. No, sorry. Bagala.
Reference to Gula?
No. Bagala does not mean in a wagon.
At any point in time.
Bagala means quickly. Bagala means quickly. By the way, if there are any Jews listening to the shir, it's worthwhile to know that when you say Kaddish every day, at least you hear it at least 10 times, when you hear the word Bagala, you should think it means quickly. You know why? Because that's what it means. What is Bagala quickly? In other words, we're saying Yiskadel v'Yiskadel Shmerah, Hashem's name should be great and magnified. It's going to be great and magnified, but we're davening it should be quick. So what does it mean, Uvizman Kariv? Uvizman Kariv means soon. So listen carefully. Says Vilna Gaon, Adar Selyo and Devarim. Bagala means the Geula should happen quick. Now, the Geula has many epics. You have Mashiach, you have Goig Umagoig, you have Tchias HaMesim, you have a lot of good stuff happening. Once the Geula happens, Bagala, quick, Uvizman Kariv, we want all the various events of the Geula to happen in quick succession. Bagala is that the Geula should come quick, Uvizman Kariv. You know, it was worthwhile, actually, to come. Let's say you only learned one thing the whole year. Let's say you only in 10 years. Let's say you never came. Let's say you only know you're on a desert island and you can only know 10 things. This might be one of them. That every day when you hear Kaddish, every day when you hear Kaddish, Bagala means swiftly. Now, a wagon could be swift, but it has nothing to do with a wagon. Bagala, quickly, with Zman Kariv, and it should happen in quick succession. The Medrash says, Klal Yisrael asked Bilam, when will the Yeshua come? Bilam said, Erenu, I see it, v'loy ata, but not now. Ashurenu, I gaze at it, v'loy kariv, it's not close. You know that pasuk? Remember that pasuk? That the Bilam says, I see the Mashiach in the far off future. Says the Medrash, Klal Yisrael asked Bilam, when's Mashiach coming? Bilam says, I see it in the far off future. God says, Bilam, Rasha, that's what you think. Ein atem yoidim shesoy Bilam yogehenim. Bilam, in the end, you're going to go into the purgatory. And you're not going to see my salvation. You know what the Jewish people say about the salvation? Yaakov Avinu said, Lishua secha kivisi Hashem. They say the Yeshua is close. Ki kreva Yeshua si lavai. Bilam says the Gula is going to be in a long time. We say it's happening now. It's going to be any day. It's going to be tomorrow. By the way, when the Gemara says that a person has to anticipate the coming of Mashiach, the Ran writes, Sarach Levayer, look at number 14. Sipisa li Yeshua biyamecha, in your days. You know, sometimes you need to learn from our enemies. What are the enemies saying? What's their movement? In our lifetime. In our lifetime, yeah? In our lifetime. You know why? That's what Hashem reminds us of how we should think through the mouth of our enemy. When you hear the enemy say in our lifetime, say, I forgot about that. Hashem's reminding us. That's the mitzvah tzipisa Yeshua. Sometimes you have to hear out of the mouth of the enemy how a Jew should think. Sometimes, you know, David HaMelech, what do we say about the Melech HaMashiach? V'yerdu miyam el yom. Mashiach will rule miyam el yom. So when you hear them chanting, yeah? Say, why? It's scary when you hear that. Baruch Hashem saying, did you forget about the mitzvah of Tzipisa Yeshua? Let me remind you. So sometimes we don't get the message. So Hashem said, I'm going to remind you. They're going to be screaming it on the bridges because I want you to remember this. Sometimes you need to hear it from the... Isn't it amazing? The slogans that they chant are the basic tenets that we need to believe.
By the way, I think the word Bagala is referring to waves. Just like waves come in succession, comes fast, Bagalah of his man Kareem.
What did Bagalah have to do with waves?
That should come fast. It comes in succession. It comes, Mm-hmm. That's a gal. Gal is a wave.
No, Bez Ayin Gimel Lamed Aleph. Okay. The Marshan Ksubis, we're going to get to the Sunan Ksubis, says one of the oaths that the Jewish people took is they're not going to distance the Kates. So simply it means we're not going to sin and cause the Geula to delay. The Marsha says, you know what else it means? You know what else Klal Yisrael swore? That Klal Yisrael swore that in their eyes, we never think, yeah, the Geula is going to be in 2025. No, Chas V'Sham, you can't say that. Geula's not in 2025. The Geula's going to be tomorrow. A person has to think, say, tomorrow, don't you need like some kind of cataclysmic event? Like, don't you need some kind of, you know, world war? We're going to see, you don't need anything unusual to happen. No special requirements needed. You don't need any unusual event. You don't need any cataclysmic. You don't need earthquakes. You don't need hurricanes. You don't need war. You don't need anything special to happen for it to be ripe for the Geula to come. So now I want to share with you something very amazing. You know, we saw from the Malbim, Nafshi Lashem Mishoimrim Labaikar, my soul yearns for the Geula more than someone who yearns for the morning. Because someone who yearns for the morning, it's static, it can't come any sooner. But we place our faith in Hashem that He could expedite the redemption. So the mitzvah of Tzipisa Lishua is the mitzvah that it could come. We just saw it is required to anticipate the coming of of redemption in our lifetime. It is the obligation of every Jew to anticipate the coming of the redemption in your lifetime. B'mehera b'yameinu. So when you wake up in the morning, what should you think? Maybe it will come today? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva, the mitzvah of Tzipisa Yeshua is to await that it will almost definitely come today. Ke'ein vadai. Almost definitely. Almost definitely come today. Rav Moshe writes a tshuva to his nephew, Rabbi Chiel Michal Feinstein. He says, we're all in anticipation of the coming of Pesach, Yud Aleph Nisan, 1979. And he says, it's too late for us to bring the current Pesach Betara, but we could still bring it Betuma. And Mashiach could come suddenly. The Navi says, Pisoim Yavai El Hechaloi Ha'adoin Asher Atem Mevakshim. What does it mean, Pisam Yavai Alechalai, that Mashiach could come suddenly? Suddenly means you don't need a revolutionary war, you don't need a world war, you don't need an earthquake, you don't need a tsunami, you don't need it to be like the sun to stop. The morning could come, you wake up in the morning, you hear the shofar, and there it is. Pisam Yavai Alechalai Ha'adoin Asher Atem Mevakshim. You don't need any simanim. It could happen suddenly. Says Rav Moshe, very interesting words. Mashma she'ika chiyuv letzapos yoiser mechashivu safek. It has to be that we have to anticipate it's coming more than just a safek. His proof is that, you know, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, what mattered the new grain, the chadash? The Karban HaOmer. When was the Omer brought? On the 15th. The Omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, what's the halacha? If there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Karban HaOmer, what matters new grain? Sunrise on the 16th. But it comes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We can't allow you to eat the new grain on sunrise on the 16th. Why? Because next year, if you will start eating the new grain at sunrise, because last year you ate it at sunrise, What happens if Mashiach comes in the middle of the year? You're going to remember that last year you ate it at sunrise. But now this year you can't eat at sunrise anymore. You have to wait for the Karban Omer. So you're going to eat it before the Karban Omer because you're going to remember that last year you ate it at sunrise, but this year you can't eat at sunrise anymore. This year you have to eat it, you have to wait until the Karban is brought. So the Gemara says, well, what if it's already the 16th of Nisan? Can I just wait until Chatzos? Because technically speaking, they are supposed to bring the Karban by Chatzos. No. Because maybe Mashiach will still come a few hours into the day. And if Mashiach comes, you weren't allowed to eat it until the bringing of the carbon. Says our Moshe, we're going to aser Kal Yisrael from eating the grain because maybe Mashiach is going to come that day. Says Rav Moshe, Ella hare yia hachiv letzapois ke'ein vadai. Al kol sha v'sha sheyibane. You have to wait as if it's definite that on every moment, Mashiach will come. So my friend, Reb Chaim Moller, asked that we once spoke out from Reb Shimon Schwab and Parshas Boy. I put it on the new sheets. I redid them a few minutes before the shir. That Reb Shimon Schwab once asked the Chafetz Chaim, what does it mean, b'nisan nigalu v'nisan asidin ligael? After all, what do you mean, b'nisan asidin ligael? Don't we say, achak aloi b'chol yom sheyavai? So the Chafetz Chaim said, yeah, but in Nisan, it should be like 50-50. Which implies the rest of the year, it doesn't have to be 50-50. The rest of the year could be like, okay, 37%. And in Nisan, 50-50. Is that like Rav Moshe who says like, Ke'in Vadai? So in other words, what the Chafetz Chaim seemed to have been saying is the most you have to expect Mashiach to come is 50-50. So what does Rav Moshe mean? You have to anticipate the coming of Mashiach as if it's a vadai. Unless you should view it like a pregnancy. Right? Like, let's say in the ninth month. The first day of the ninth month, what is the likelihood that the woman's going to give birth this day? The first day? I don't know, 5%? And the second day, 5.5%? And the third day, 6%? And when Shabbos comes, 7%? I have a question. Do you pack a suitcase in case she has to go? Yeah. Do you invite your parents, your in-laws again for Shabbos? Yeah. But what do you mean? It's only 5%. Yeah, but yeah, but what if? So it's even sometimes a small percent is maybe that's what Ramosha means. Kein vadai. Kein vadai doesn't mean 90%. It means it's a real possibility that I have to be concerned for. And Nisan, 50-50 is like, you know, when a woman is 8 days overdue, what's the likelihood she's going to go today? 50-50. So I just share with you, there's some really remarkable practices that many Gedolim have had. The Lavush in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Tes, he says his whole life he wondered why when Eichas read Betzibur, and the Minhag the Lavush says is to make a bracha on Eicha, even though today most shuls do not, why don't we lane it from a klaf? Now, many shuls do have a klaf for Eicha, but in times of Lavush, it was extremely rare to have a klaf for Eicha. We all have a klaf for Esther. It's, he says, not like Shir Hashirim, Rus, and Koheles, that it's not like the Baal Kor is being moitzi everyone. Eicha, you're being moitzi. The Tzibur and Eicha. So why don't we do it from a kosher Megillah? Says Avush, an amazing thing. The reason why we don't lean it from a klaf is because it was impossible to get a sofer to write Eicha for you. Because every day we're anticipating, we're awaiting the coming of Mashiach. And to sit down in Chodesh Teves and to write an Eicha. What does it mean write an Eicha? What, you know there's going to be a Tisha B'Av this year? That's like you've given up all hope. So nobody wanted to write an Eicha. Because writing an Eicha is like being Miyayish from the Geula. Masha'in came Purim. Purim will never be batel. Therefore, al yedei hadchak, we have no choice. We read it, but we read it from a chumash. We read it from a chumash. So, the Levush is saying that the practice of reading Eicha from a chumash developed from the idea that to lane Eicha from a klaf would be a statement that, you know, we've given up all hope. We've resigned ourselves that there's going to be a Tisha B'Av. How can you do that? How could you write Eicha, you know, a week before Tisha B'Av? Elamai, 2 days before, there's not enough time anymore. By the way, in the Sefer Toras Chaim, he brings from his father that his father told him, and many Gedolim had this practice, that the Machtzis HaShekel, when Tisha B'Av was over, he would not wrap up his kinas that was published with Eicha, but he would buy a new one every single year. And after the kinnus, he left the kinnus in the shul, and he was mafgirit, because he said, you know, I'm not going to need it. I'm not going to need it next year. So this was the practice that Gedolei Yisrael had, that their anticipation for the coming of Mashiach was ke'in vadai, that Mashiach will definitely come. By next Tisha B'Av, I'm going to need an Eicha. I think I said many times, my grandfather said that when he was in Auschwitz, he believed be'emuna shalema every single day that Mashiach was going to come. Now one day went by that he didn't believe that Mashiach was not going to come on that day.
Can he come on Shabbos?
Mashiach could come on Shabbos, but Eliyahu can't come on Shabbos.
How do we know that?
The Gemara. By the way, it's interesting, you know, there's a sefer of halachos of the psukim of Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky. It's called Kovetz Halachos, and it's compiled by Rav Daniel Asher Kleinman. And when he published on the Bein HaMetzarim in the first edition, he wanted to, if you've ever seen them, they're all hardcover svarim, he wanted to publish on the Bein HaMetzarim in hardcover, so he asked Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky. And Reb Shmuel said, nah, don't make it hardcover. Can't make it hardcover. Because we're not going to need it anymore. Why would you make a sefer on the Bein HaMetzarim hardcover? But then when he published the other volumes, so Reb Shmuel said, you can make this hardcover also, you know, so as not to distinguish between that and the other volumes, similar to what the Gemara says, ID Dezutar Merka, something which is small, could get lost. So these are practices that Gedolei Yisrael had to demonstrate their belief in the coming of Mashiach. But as we mentioned, it's not enough to pay lip service to the ideal that Mashiach is going to come. By the way, the Peleoyitz also says that since being Mitzapel Yeshua is one of the questions that we're going to be asked after 120, one of the simanim of someone who's Mitzapel Yeshua is that whenever he talks about something that's going to happen in the future, he says, okay, I'll do that, or I'll go there, and or this will happen, you know, if Mashiach doesn't come sooner. But the Peleoyitz writes, part of anticipating the coming of Mashiach is avoiding the pitfall of immersing yourself in building big, beautiful, ornate, elegant homes, because that is a declaration that you don't think he's coming so soon. If you thought he was coming so soon and you're going to be moving out very soon, nobody sinks their life savings into a place that they're going to be for another week, another month, another year. You know, put it this way. Pal, if you were renting, would you be pouring hours in the tile store? If you were renting, I don't think so. So that's a pretty big challenge, you know, to view one's home as if one is renting. Okay, I just need a few more moments of your time. Let's come back to the question of the Levush, which we said is a very interesting question. The Levush wanted to know that why do we not lane Megillas Eicha from a klaf? After all, it's something that the Shliach Tzibur is moitzi, the Rabbim, from their chiyuv. So my friend Rav Daniel Weinstein sent me a recording of Rav Uri Deutsch, who spoke out a question of Reb Chaim Falaji on the Levush in the Sefer Moed L'Chol Chai. The Moed L'Chol Chai asks a very interesting question. He says, wait a second. When the second Beis HaMikdash stood, what did they do on Tisha B'Av? You know, most Rishonim say it was a Yom Tov. Most Rishonim say when the Beis HaMikdash stood, Tisha B'Av was a Yom Tov. And that's why Rabbi Yaakov Emden says Erev Tisha B'Av is a quasi Yom Tov to remember how it was a Yom Tov when Mashiach, when the second Beis HaMikdash stood. The Rambam in the Perashah Mishnayis says a wondrous chiddush. The Rambam says that when the second Beis HaMikdash stood, it says that in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they would send out shluchim in Chodesh Av to let people know when Tisha B'Av is. So Rambam says, what do you mean to let people know when Tisha B'Av is? They didn't commemorate Tisha B'Av when the Beis HaMikdash stood. Must be they fasted on Tisha B'Av even when the Beis HaMikdash stood, because many, many tragedies had already happened on Tisha B'Av. So the Moed L'Chol Chai asks, if they fasted on Tisha B'Av, then they lay in Deicha. So if they lay in Deicha, they didn't lay in it from a klaf when the Beis HaMikdash stood? Don't say, well, you can't answer the only reason why we don't use a klaf is because it's like they gave up hope from Geula. But when the Beis HaMikdash stood, they still lay in Deicha. And then they had a klaf. So if they had a klaf then they should have, they should continue the practice of having a klaf. So the Moed L'Chol Chai says that when the Beis HaMikdash stood, there was no real chiyuv to lay in Eicha. It was only a minhag as a hoidah that we're laying Eicha to thank Hashem that Baruch Hashem, we don't have to mourn on this day. Rav Asi pointed out that a few years ago we learned from the Ben Ish Chai, and we mentioned it on Tisha B'Av, that when Mashiach comes, we're still going to lay in Eicha, and we're going to lay in a happy tune, and we're going to have a different way of interpreting the psukim, that it's going to be L'toiva. And in that case, then L'chayra, though, when they lay in Eicha, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, maybe they lay in that happy tune, and then L'chayra, it would have been a Chiyuv. Okay, but in any event, that's an interesting question on the Levush. Be it as it may, the mitzvah of anticipating the coming of Mashiach should not be in the far-off future, but rather the mitzvah is to anticipate its arrival in our lifetime. And not that it's maybe will come. It should not be a suffix, a far-out. It's nafshi l'ashem mishoyrim l'boiker. As certain as you are that the morning will come, we're even more certain that the Geula will come. Because the morning, it can't come any sooner. But the Geula, in the zchus of anticipating and yearning for it, Bezus Hashem, it should come Bagala Uvizman Karev V'imru Amen. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful night. Kol Tov.
Marav?
Yeah, Marav.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.